bit, but 2 years ago, in the one of the services at night, there was a girl, she's sitting on the front row like y'all are, and she just stood up and singing and stuff and got real quiet, and she just started shouting. She goes, "Thank God I'm saved." And man, took off, and I'm telling you, for the next hour, all the ladies started running the aisles. They was running with the flags, and I had never seen it on that fashion. There was a lady there that, I mean, Christian lady, loves God, but you'd never even expect her to say amen. And she's, I look, and she's running with the flag. And man, we had a time. I tell you, God's been good to us. And if you're able to just be part of something like this, amen, it's a blessing. The Lord have smiled upon you. Amen. There's a lot of places that you don't see anything like this. There's places I preach down south. They don't shout. Quiet. I leave out of there mad. I can't even shame them into saying amen while I'm preaching. They won't say amen. I'm like, man, y'all are sorry. Amen. But look in Genesis chapter number 4, and we'll just start reading we're reading verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord." Was the Lord pleased with that? No. Amen. He don't want the fruit of the ground. "And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect." Man alive. You know, there's some Christians that don't, they never see that part of God. Amen. I mean, folks, you have to approach God his way. All religions don't lead to God, regardless of what Billy Graham said. Amen. You got to come to him through the blood. Amen. "But unto Cain, to his offering, had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him." Man, this story always amazes. I got four brothers. The story always amazes me in the Bible, how somebody gets so bad and so mad they kill their own brother. But it happens all the time. "And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said..." Now, when you read these verses, the Bible saying God said to him. I mean the voice of God, literally. "And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper?" Man, what a way to talk to God. You say, would a person talk to God like that? Sure. There might be people talk to him that way before we leave out of here today. "And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear." Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for meeting with us. God, I thank you for the Spirit of God and the liberty that's here. And God, as we open the Word of God and preach, I pray for that liberty and pray for the moving of the Holy Spirit, that you'll deal with our hearts. And God, I pray those that are here lost, I pray you'll save their soul here this morning. Make it easy. God, get them real good and lost. And God, I pray you'll revive the church. Bless Brother Gary and his family and all the homes that are represented, the young people sitting here. Fire them up, God. Revive them, Lord, I pray. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. Help us now. Make preaching easy. Give us those tools that we need and the filling of the Spirit of God. And Lord, we'll thank you and give you all the praise and all the honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Cain said here, said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. And I want to preach this morning on this. He underestimated the consequences. Amen. So I want to preach this morning on underestimated consequences. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know how you've been in your life. But in me, in my life, I have been a great underestimator of consequences. Yeah. Amen. I never took a book home in high school. They said, when they talked about English, you know, diagramming sentences, I said, no, thank you. Long division? No, don't believe I will. Amen. Decimals? No, no, thank you. Amen. Never did it. Never did any homework. Never did anything. My ninth grade report card in school, my final report card, I had 14 F's. I just wadded up and threw it away. I said, I'd rather get a whooping for not bringing my grade card home than to bring it home like this. And that was just the beginning of the beginning of a disaster. And all through my young life, my young adult life, I underestimated consequences. I was always in trouble. Amen. I mean, I'd just do whatever I could to get into trouble. I underestimated the consequences of all that. I remember when I was a small boy, I was probably about this boy's age here. Probably not a whole lot smarter. Amen. But I remember I got to where I was pilfering. Y'all know what pilfering is? How many of y'all know what pilfering is? So we... I guess I got to explain myself. Pilfering's when you get into things that don't belong to you. Especially when you got older brothers or sisters, and you get into stuff that's theirs, and you start pilfering in theirs. Amen. I think I'm on the right subject, don't y'all? Amen. When you start pilfering and things don't belong to you, like this week, I'm staying in the preacher's bed. They gave me their bedroom. I wouldn't dare. I wouldn't dare start going through their drawers and their junk drawer and stuff. And man alive, I'd be scared God'd kill me in there. But pilfering and stuff don't belong to you. And I start doing that. And my mom and dad, they had a junk drawer. And that junk drawer was all where all the cool stuff is. I mean, my dad's war medals were in there. And he had a set of brass knuckles in there. I still got some of those. You never know when those come in handy. I got a switchblade collection. I like to have them in both pockets. But he had all that cool stuff in there, and I'd pilfer in there. And my mom had a bag of change in there that was all silver money that she'd collect from her grocery money, and it was all that didn't have no copper in it. It was all silvers, quarters and dimes and half dollars. And I'd see that money in there, and I started pilfering, started stealing that money out of there, and I'd put it in my pocket, and I'd walk down. We had a gas station not far from us, and we'd walk down the station and buy, you know, Reese cups and a Coke. Reese cups were a nickel then. And a Coca-Cola in the bottle was a dime with a 2-cent deposit. And I'd go up there and steal that money, and I'd pilfer out of there. And one day my dad told me, he says, hey, boy, get in my room now. I don't know how y'all were at home, but that meant, you know, he's going to kill you. I'm looking at ways to escape. I'm thinking about if I grab a jar of peanut butter and some bread, and amen, I could make a run for it. I walk into my dad's room, and I walk in there, and there's that bag of money laying there. I'm like, oh, no. Man, he made me wait in there for a long time. Felt like an hour. Could have been 5 minutes. But, man, I'm sitting in there, and here come my dad. He shut the door. He reached over, and he grabbed that bag of money. He looked down at me, and he says, boy, you've been pilfering in here, ain't you? I'm like, no, Dad. I ain't been in there, Dad, no. Hey, boy, look at me in my eyes. Yeah, Dad, I... And my dad looked at me and he goes, tell you what I'm going to do, son. He said, I'm not going to whip you this time. I'm like, what? What's going on here? And my dad told me, so I'm going to tell you why. He said, see this money? He said, this money, your mama's been saving this from all of her grocery money. This is all silver money. And he looked at me and he goes, she's been saving this for you. He said, when you got older, she figured this money would be worth something someday. And she's saving all this for you. And he looked at me and he said, hey, dummy, you've been stealing from yourself. Then he said something I'll never forget. He looked at me and he said, and you broke your mama's heart. Well, I'd much rather got a beating than to break my mama's heart. He said, you just stay in here for a while. He walked out. Had to sit there and stew and think about breaking my mama's heart. And you know what I did? I underestimated the consequences of what could happen with my actions. And I'm going to tell you, I think I'm in a whole room right here with great underestimators of consequences. Am I right?
Yes.
In my life, what I've done, Cain here in the Bible, he underestimated the consequences. Got down the end, he said, hey, my punishment's more than I can bear. Should have thought about that before you killed your brother. Amen. And today, I just got a few of these that I believe are underestimated consequences of the day. Number one is an unsaved soul. You underestimate the consequences of going unsaved. I got a friend of mine went to the hospital and visited a man that was dying. Now, I don't know. Maybe some of you need to get around somebody that's dying. Maybe you need to be faced with your own mortality. Because I'll tell you what, you die unsaved, you're going to split hell wide open.
Right.
Went in to visit a man in the hospital, and these preachers know what I'm talking about. When you go visit somebody, and a lot of times you're going in there to visit somebody you don't even know. Say, preacher, would you please go visit my neighbor? You know, he's dying of cancer. And he went to the hospital, went up there in the cancer ward, went in the intensive care. In the intensive care unit, all the doors are open. There's a little group of people sitting in there. The loved ones said, there's this little old man laying there on the bed. Said, it looks like a skeleton. Preacher knocks on the door. You say, I'm Reverend so-and-so, you know, and come here to visit this man and try to talk to him. And the family says, preacher, you can come in. Said, but he's been in a coma. And I don't know if he can respond, but you're welcome. Come in prayer and try to talk to him. We've all been talking to him. Preacher said he walked over, you know, to the bed and the family's there, and he walks over to the man, and before he could say a word, he said that man got a tube run down his throat, got all kind of wires and tubes hooked up to him. He said that man begins to shake. Like that, and said his eyes got open that big and reached in and pulled the hose out of his throat, knocked over stuff. Man, bells and whistles start going off. He said that man right in front of him, man's preacher backed up. He said that man starts screaming. Starts going, oh my God, help, no, ah, help me, I'm burning. And said his eyes got big like that, and he moved himself up his back, up the wall behind him, knocking everything over, and he's going, no, oh God, no, I'm burning. And boy, sit there and said, watch the man die right there in front of him. And the preacher said, I watched a man die and go to hell right in front of me. And the preacher said this, he said, you could smell sulfur in the room. I'm telling you, if you're sitting here unsaved, you underestimate the consequences. You don't want to die and go to hell. Sitting here right now, you don't know what could happen on the way home. You don't know what could happen sitting here. You die unsaved, you'll die and go to hell. Do you realize what's in hell right now? Do you realize the screams that's in hell right now? Do you realize the people that's burning there? Can you realize, hey, do you realize there's people cursing and cussing God down there? You know the terrorists that run their planes into the Trade Center? They're down there. You know there's perverts that's died in the last 24 hours? You know they're there and they're cursing God? You know, if you die off a church pew, off a church chair, do you realize your hell will be worse than them? Because you died having a chance to be saved and squandered it and jaywalked across the love of God. You underestimate the consequences. You say, well, I want my friends. I want to have a good time. Well, you can have it, but I'm telling you, your punishment will be greater than you can bear. You don't want to die and go there. Amen. Hear the rants and tyrants of people like Hitler and Saddam Hussein. He was cussing the people that hung him when he died. When they put that cape over his neck and had that big knot right there, he was cursing all of them in his language. Do you realize what it sounds like now? As he's burning and tormenting in the flames? Do you realize his cussing rants now? Telling you, hey, you underestimate the consequences. And then, listen to me, you could be saved and live for God while you're here. Amen. You can live for Him now. You can know what it means to have the Holy Ghost inside you. You underestimate the consequences. I got a message in here somewhere. I'd have to go through here and find it. But there's a young gal. She dies, and on her deathbed, she's sitting there and she's got her family and her friends are there with her. And on her deathbed, she gives her last testimony while she's dying, died lost. She's about 19 years old. I don't know how long you got. You might not have to the end of this month. This might be your last spring. But this lady on her deathbed, she's looking over and she's got her family and stuff around. And she looks over on her deathbed and looks at her daddy. And here's what she said. This is quote. She looks at her daddy and says, "Your heart is as black as hell. If you had taught me to live for God rather than fighting with mama, I might have been saved." Then she turned to her friends. She says, "Do not follow my example. Do not enjoy the hellish pleasures of the world. Oh, if I had heeded the warnings of my friend who lived a godly life." Then this was her last words. "Oh, the devil is coming after me." Said he's drawing my soul into hell. I'm lost, lost, lost. Forever I'm lost. Then she died right in front of her family and her friends. I don't know what it'd be like being around if some of you died today. I don't know what you'd be screaming. But I'll tell you this, you underestimate the consequences. Amen. I'll tell you what else. You underestimate the consequences of unconfessed sin. Listen to me. If you let your sin go as a child of God, it'll fester on you. You know what festering means? We used to work down south. We used to build all them houses. We'd build all them houses and put that siding. We'd put cedar siding on there. Anybody here that's ever built and used cedar? Man, those splinters and stuff that you get from cedar, they get in you. It's poison. Them cedar splinters are poison. You get a splinter from cedar, it gets in you and then it festers. It swells up. Man, you can't get it out of there. And then one day finally it'll head up and you've got to squeeze and finally that thing will pop out of there. It festers on you. That's the way sin does. Sin's like getting a metal shaving in you. It just festers on you. Finally, you've got to dig that thing out. The longer you go, the harder it is to dig it out. Amen. And thank God. Amen. I like it when people get rid of their cigarettes and their name brand. I like it when there's a lot in there too. It worries me when they get rid of a pack that's only got one or two in it. Amen. How's that look? Told you I'd have an illustration before it's over with. You know, my fingers are still shaped to that right there. It's been almost 25 years, and that still feels so natural from when I used to smoke. Some of you sitting here, you ain't got the nerve to get rid of yours. Amen. Buddy, I'll guarantee you now they're smashed. That's 300 pounds of evangelist. Unconfessed sin. Fester on you. I wrote this one. I love to use the alphabet. I don't use the Greek. I use the English. Unconfessed sin is an aneurysm that stops your brain. You'll do stupid stuff. Amen. It's a blight that kills fruit. It's a cancer that destroys your testimony. It's a drought that changes the future. It's an enemy that kidnaps children. It's a fungus that affects family. It's a germ that infects your character. It's hereditary from Adam. It's an infectious wound. It's the justification of self. It's the knife in the back of grace. It's a menace to society. It's a nasty habit. It's an opening for the devil. Unconfessed sin is a poor way to spend a day. It's quicksand. It's the rejection of conviction. It's the scourge in the hand of mockers. It's a thorn in his crown. It's underestimated. It's a vomit that the dog goes back to. Its wages is death. It's x-rayed by preaching. It's the yoke of bondage, and it's zeal that turns kneel. You ever heard that old saying? Sin will keep me away from this book. Or this book will keep me away from sin. How's it going with you? Unconfessed sin, you underestimate it. You underestimate it. You kids that are sitting here, you listen to me. Sin will take you away from your family. You all got a family that in church, and your mom and daddy want to live for God. If you're going to live a life of sin and turn your face and nose away from God and the Holy Spirit, it'll drive you away from them. You'll force them to make a choice one day. Amen. I know Christian families right now have to tell their children, you can't stay here no more. We can't have you jeopardize being around the rest of our kids. You can't stay here. You're not welcome here no more. You say, oh, nobody'd ever do this. Some people have to do it with their children. Is that the way you want to go? You want to know what it is? You want to have friends? You want to have them friends out there in the world, the dope crowd and the rock crowd and the hip-hop crowd? You know what all that leads to? You know where it leads to? It leads to homosexuality. Yeah. Leads to lesbianism. Yeah. Leads to dope, crystal meth, ecstasy. So what does it lead to? It leads to venereal disease. Yeah. Leads to some punk out there that'll use you up and then throw you away. Is that where you want to go? If it is, you've underestimated it. So I want my friends, I want to have a good time, man. I want to party. You'll wind up on the bottom. You'll alienate yourself from everybody in this room. Amen, preacher. Good preaching. You underestimate it. You ever spend a night in jail? Know what goes on in there? We'll tell you something. You underestimate the consequences. Unconfessed sin. I'll tell you what else. An unyielded spirit. One of the themes of that Bible is yielding yourself over to God. I preach to people every week of my life that has no idea of what yielding even means. No idea of absolute surrender. No idea of a yielding spirit. I'll tell you what, folks, it ain't hard to figure out. I can take a laser pointer on right now. If I had one of them little pointers, you know, do a PowerPoint presentation. If I had a laser pointer right now, I could point out. If I give an invitation right now, I could point to you who's going to come. And I could point to you who won't. You know who's got a spirit yield to God or not. And I'm going to tell you something. If you won't yield to God, you underestimate the consequences. You'll wind up in a liberal church. You'll go, you'll find you a little church that's got, you know, a little Sunday morning service is all. No Sunday school. Just come as you are. Got a little round mouth preacher, little soft hands. I love you. Let's get the pianist to come. And we'll sing one verse of Kumbaya. Kumbaya, my Lord. Group hugs. Sorry, I almost vomited right there. Ugh. That's what you'll do. You'll find your little place that's not so direct. I didn't come here this morning to be put under pressure. I come here to worship.
Amen.
Well, how's come you ain't done it? Amen. Nut. Nerd. Geek. Dummy. Stupid. How's come you ain't done it? Loser. Amen. I was in a service in Dearborn Heights, Michigan. We had a youth revival, and we had five Satanists come in. Y'all seen them. They come in to disrupt the service. One girl had half her head shaved. And the other half she had is all spiked up. And she had stuff all, looks like she fell into a tackle box. She had, around her neck was a chain. And a boy, a 15-year-old boy, she's about 15, 16. A boy had her leading her in with a dog chain around her neck. And they all come in and sit down there on the pew. One of them had a white mouse in their pocket, and they took a white mouse out and let it loose in the service. You said, what was that? That's Wiccan. She's casting a spell on the church. They came to the wrong place. One boy had a Marilyn Manson t-shirt on. You know, Marilyn. You ever seen Marilyn? Looks like a maggot worm. I could whoop him and his whole band at one time. Their arms are that big around. If I couldn't whoop a man that wore makeup, I'd be suicidal. Pantyhose. Ugh. And man, they came in and sat there, and I was standing on the pew in front of them preaching to them, losers. I said, y'all on the losing side. Anybody can do what you're doing. The guy had a Marilyn Manson shirt, and I looked at him. I said, Marilyn Manson's a puke. You tell him I said so if you see. I said, I think he's a queer. Don't you?
Yeah.
I said, why would you say such a thing? He gets his concerts and he takes the King James Bible and rips pages out of it in front of kids. And he invites them to come and accept Satan as their Savior. So I'll say that about him.
Amen.
And I was sitting there preaching, that boy had that shirt on, and I looked, and there was a tear come down out of his face. I said, there's hope for you, boy. You better chunk these other losers. He said, they'll drag you on to hell, boy. He's looking there at me with tears in his eyes. I seen tears this week. I've seen you choke them back since, but I've seen them. I know there's something in that heart. And I'm going to tell you, you underestimate the consequences. Amen. Unyielded spirit. I will not. You know what you're going to have to do then? You know what you're going to have to do? Listen, you're going to have to jaywalk across the love of God.
Jesus Christ died on the cross. You'll have to jaywalk across His love. Bible says you've trodden underfoot the Son of God. And I'll tell you what else you're going to have to do, young lady. You're going to have to trod across the love of your mom and daddy and your grandma and grandpa and your pastor and your pastor's wife and everybody sitting in this church that loves you. You'll have to jaywalk across that love. You underestimate the consequences. Amen. You say, I don't think you ought to be so direct. Hey, this might be my last chance. The warning signs ought to be going off. Amen. I wish some of y'all that's had trouble with your family and your folks, I wish some of the husbands had been here. Everywhere I go to church, there's gals that come without their husband. They underestimated the consequences when they married that rascal. Now they got to come to church without him. Amen. Me and Brother Jesse, he just came from down there. We go to St. Mary's, Georgia. And there's a little old gal there. And she has come to church ever since I've known her. 14 years I've been going preaching at that church. And she's never come with her husband, Miss Potter. And that lady's there for everything. She dresses immaculate like a Christian woman. All the meals, she brings food. She takes care of all the flowers at the church. We was there at the meeting. I think it was last year, or might have been year before, and Jesse and Daniel started singing that, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. However it goes. I like it. It's one of my favorite songs, but I can't remember the words to save my life. And they got the flags, and they was waving them flags and all that. And I look down there, and Sister Potter, she's crying, standing up, pledging allegiance to the Lamb of God. And man, I'm sitting there, and the Lord says, there's a soldier.
Yes.
He said, you want to salute somebody, go salute her.
Yeah.
I got up and we got out of my seat and went down there, and there sat that little old Christian lady, been church without her husband for years. Had to go down there and salute her. Amen. I wonder if you're sitting here right now, I wonder if somebody needs to salute your wife because she has to put up with your sorry hide. God bless you, ma'am. Sorry you married a bum. Why don't you get right with God? Amen. Unyielded spirit. Let me say this, last of all. Y'all ready for the last one? Uncompromised service. You underestimate the consequences. So what do you mean? Just absolute surrender to God. Did you ever dream it'd ever be this good? Amen. I'm telling you what, folks, I underestimated. I never dreamed serving God would be this good. I never dreamed. Amen. I mean, this morning, I mean, sitting here today in the will of God, I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do. I'm in a Bible-believing church. Amen. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. My wife right now, it's 10 minutes to 11 in Alabama. She's getting ready to finish adult Sunday school. She's sitting there. She's amening our preacher. I've got a wife that amens. I got a wife that stands up and shouts. Amen. She'll shout to drop the hat, and she'll drop the hat. Amen. Amen. I got a daughter that's married to a preacher. Amen. She's going to have us a grandbaby. Amen. My house. I live in a mobile home, double wide, but it's mine. Amen. I got all the guns I need. I got a knife collection. Amen. I've got assault rifles and long distance rifles. Amen. Shotguns. I've got scatter guns. I've got large bore handguns.
Amen. I mean, I'm in high cotton this morning. Say why? I'm telling you, the will of God came by one day and knocked on my heart. I said, oh God, I'm not much. I don't know if you could ever use somebody like me. But I'll tell you, Lord, I give it all to you. I'm telling you what, He took it. And boy, I'm telling you, I underestimated how good it would be. Got an idea you underestimated too. Or brother, you'd be running down to this altar and say, God, can you do for me what you've done for them? Somebody gave me a tape, and this old Scottish preacher, and I think Jesse's heard that, about the revival on the Isle of Lewis. Man, I love to hear them Scottish preachers. Yeah. See, I'm going to tell you about their revival. Tell you about their revival on the Isle of Lewis. He said, on the little island, he says, God moved in a mighty way. He started describing how God moved in a little church just like this. He said, one night there was a dance going on, and all the young people was at a dance. God moved down there at the dance hall, and all of them came back down to the church, walked in the church, and just came to the altars and started getting right with God. He said, there was people that came out of the mountains. Did not even know there is a revival going on. Said they came out of the mountains just to see what was going on at the little church. God moved. People were saved. And he tells a story of one lady in the middle of all that revival. God moving. And said the little old gal stood up and come down in the front. Couldn't get to the altar because of all the people. And she put her hands up and she started saying, is there nothing for me? Is there nothing for me? Well, I've never forgot that. Been in many revivals since, and I've seen folks sitting there. Folks shouting, crying, praying on the altars, and they just sit there. Is there nothing for me? I'm telling you here this morning, there is something for you. It comes to surrender to God. It comes to finally saying, Lord, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. Will you please save me? I trust in your Son. I believe on Him. Will you save my soul? He'll do it. And you'll know what it means, amen, to have the Spirit of God in you. Know what it means to be clean, be a child of God. But without it, you underestimate the consequences. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I just about know. There's a couple people here I ain't seen all week. Maybe I will. If you're here this morning and you got enough nerve, enough guts, whatever, I'm not going to embarrass you. But if you say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm here today and I'm not saved. Would you pray for me? I'll pray for you. Not going to embarrass you, not going to do anything like that. Is there anybody here right now, heads bowed and eyes closed, slip your hand up, say, preacher, I'm not saved. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that in here? All right, thank you. Put it down. Little hand, anybody else? Anybody else? Let me ask you this. If you raised your hand, not saved, would you do me a favor? Would you just look up here at me? Right here in my eyeballs. Why don't you come this morning? Right now, why don't you come? Why don't you let Sister Piet take her Bible, show you how you can be saved? Would you do that? Would you do that? Everything is for you. God wants you to be saved. Jesus Christ died on the cross. Your family's praying for you right now. Preacher's praying for you. Would you come? Would you come? How many of y'all like to see somebody saved? Say amen.
Amen.
You're in the right place. Would you come? Would you come? I'm going to open the invitation up. Anybody that needs to come this altar, if you're saved, why don't you come? Why don't you come? Say, God, I don't want to underestimate. I don't want to let sin get in my life. I want to surrender my life to you. God, I don't want to take advantage. I don't want to take advantage of you. I want to live for you. I want to do right. Would you come? Would you come?
Amen. If you need to be saved, how about now? There's folks down here. There's folks coming. Would you get up and come? Would you come? Amen. Amen. Folks is coming. A lot of these young people's down here. Praise the Lord. How about it? Would you come? How about it, sir? How about you? How goes it? Would you be an answer to prayer this morning if you got out of your seat and come? Would you, little wife, would she break out in tears if she finally seen you walk an aisle and come to an altar? Well, don't you think it's high time you come? Don't you think it's high time, sir, that you went ahead and gave your life to God so your home can be a godly home? Your children, would you come? Would you come? How about it? Is your heart pounding, sir? You feel that? You feel your heart pounding? Is this you? Am I talking to the right person? Why don't you come? Step out and come. Father, bless this invitation. God, have your way. Help us here today, God. This is your business. Lord, you know who's here lost and saved. God, save their soul. Do them like you did me, Lord. Make it easy for them to be saved. God, work in our midst. Be with all these young'uns and their mamas and daddies down here at the altar, and grandmas and grandpas. Oh, God, help us to please Thee.